Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Has us on this teaching track, this spiritual teaching track, relative to the anointing. The other day, I was just going about my normal day, and I was putting some down, and all of a sudden, it's like this rush came up in my heart of this statement here. And this statement went in the form of a question, and it was simply, is healing really the children's bread? I knew at that moment that God was getting ready to start leading me to the second part of our teaching about the anointing. And so that question, so I ran and I got me a pen and I began to write and I wrote down the question, is healing really the children's bread? And right after that, the Spirit of God began to speak to me if they would eat their food. Then he went on to say, this will provide them the spiritual and faith-building nourishment to give them God's strength, God's sensitivity, and a sure source of assurance and comfort regardless of final outcomes. So when you talk about physical healing, when you talk about God as a healer, one size don't fit all. But when you are being nourished up in the Word of God, I believe that whatever challenge you face in your life, whatever diagnosis that you go to the doctor maybe to get a physical and all of a sudden they see something and they want to run tests, I believe if you're nourished up in the Word of God, God's going to give you strength in that moment. The Bible says he strengthens us before the battle. And there are things that God will begin to have you to hear at a certain time because, see, God knows what's coming down the road. So there are things that he'll have you being taught from the Word of God, and you may figure, well, you know, that don't apply to me. Maybe it doesn't apply right now. But 6 months down the road, that message is the exact message you need to have heard so it can prepare you for what you're facing. And then not only that, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because somebody can tell you, well, when this happened to me, this is what I did. That doesn't mean you need to do that. That doesn't mean you need to go take somebody else's medication that was prescribed to them and you start using it. But I think that we have to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit because sometimes the Lord may speak to you to stop doing certain things. He may even tell you to stop eating certain things and start eating certain things. See, we don't want God to mess with our diet. Just give me a pill or give me a shot, but don't take my cookies from me. The point I'm making is that when you are being nourished up in the Word of God, what it does, and it goes with what God spoke, is healing really the children's bread? Yes, if they would eat their food, if they would be spiritually nourished up in the Word of God, so that when they face a challenge in their health, they can have my strength, they can be sensitive to my spirit, and get this, they can know that I am their source regardless of what they face in life. Because sometimes we may not get what we ask for when it comes to healing. But if I know that God is my source, Satan can't shake my faith and make me believe that God is not real. He can't shake my faith and make me think, well, see, it didn't work. Because I'm not relying on whether or not I see some to define God. I already know that he's God. See, he's not God because things went well for my life. Some of us want God to be the God that we make God based on what our opinion of him is. But God is God all by himself. But God wants us to know that regardless of what happens in our life, we are assured that God is our source. So where do we get this concept relative to healing is the children's bread? We got it from the Bible. In the Bible, this woman, she comes to Jesus because her daughter is basically demon-possessed, and she cries out to Jesus, heal her daughter, and the disciples wanted to run her away. Listen to what Jesus said to this woman in Mark chapter 7, verse 27, because this is where we get this concept about the children's bread. And he was saying to her, to this woman that came to him requesting that he heal her daughter, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. So Jesus responded to this woman when she's asking him to literally heal her daughter, deliver her daughter. Jesus literally said, wait a minute, the time is not right because you are not of Jewish descent. You are not a Jew. So this is not the time for you to be satisfied with the children's bread. But we know what the story went. She didn't argue about her rights. She cried out for mercy. It was mercy that got her her miracle. She pleaded for mercy. And she knew that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter, to set her daughter free. And I mean, no, Jesus set her daughter free. So that's where we get the concept concerning healing being the children's bread. Now, if you were a Jew back in that day, you knew that already. You know, if we walked up to somebody, say, you know, a healing is the children's bread, and you were a Jew talking to another Jew, and they'll say, you got that right, because they knew. So when we say the children's bread, what are we saying? The children's bread is simply the right to the privileges of being part of God's covenant family. See, the Jews saw themselves as being God's chosen people. They saw themselves as being the ones who was of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the covenant. And so they always knew about the covenant. And they knew that in the covenant, God had made promises and provided privileges to the Jewish people. So when Jesus said basically that the children's bread belonged to the Jews and not to the non-Jews, he was basically saying based on the covenant. And we know later on God engrafted the Gentiles and we came into the family of God. But in Deuteronomy 7:7, this is why the Jews knew this. In Deuteronomy 7:7-8 says this, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you up out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why did God choose the Jewish people? Because he loved them. It didn't mean God didn't love other people, but he's saying to them that when I chose you all, it wasn't because you were so great. It wasn't because you did something to deserve it. I chose you because I am God, I am sovereign, and I can do whatever I want to do. Now, look at Exodus 23:25. I want you to see what the Bible says. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be what? On your food and water, and I will take away sickness from among you. Another translation, I will take sickness and disease out of your midst. So the Jewish mind knew that part of the privileges they have as being a child of God is that God promised them that he would take sickness and disease out of their midst. So when this woman come and asked Jesus to bring healing to her daughter, and Jesus said it is not right to give the children's bread to dogs, he was talking about the privilege of having healing brought to a person's life. So what is the qualifier? Being a child of God. If the Jews felt that they had rights and privileges because they were children of God, when you are part of a family, you get certain rights because you're part of that family. The Jews knew they were children of God, so they had certain rights. Now we're in Christ, we're part of God's family now. It's all about if you're part of the family. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm just building a case here. Listen to what the scriptures are. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. You are a new creation. You are born again. You are born from above. You are now what? You are now a child of God because you're in Christ. You're not a child of God because you go to church. You're not a child of God because you try to do right. You're not a child of God because you were baptized. You're a child of God because of what? Faith in Jesus. Now, Galatians 3:26-27, listen to this scripture where it says, and I'm just showing us we're children of God. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, not feelings, through what? Faith. But it's in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are covered under the blood of Jesus. We are protected by Christ. He covers us. He covers our sins. He blot out our sins. Thank God that Jesus have done it all for us. We're part of his family now. In 1 John 3:1, let's read that together. Read. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we shall be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. What is it that brings us into God's family? His love. You know, you meet people sometimes, they say, I got to get my life right. They don't understand God's love. We're children of God because of his love. And we need to know that. We need to appreciate that. Why? Because his love doesn't change. And also the scripture revealed that there's a distinctive difference between those who belong to God and those who belong to the world. And the Bible says the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Now notice, people who are unsaved know your name. People who are unsaved, they know your family. So he's not saying they don't know you. They don't know this new spirit that's in you. They don't know what God has done in your heart. Because what God has done in your heart, get this, the world don't understand. Because the Bible says any man that don't have the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to him. Because you have the Spirit of God in you now, that means you're a child of God. I want to lay that foundation. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, this is what I want us to see. I want us to see when the anointing of God is present, that anointing will impact people's lives for the glory of God. In Luke chapter 5, we have an account here that is also recorded in Mark's gospel and also in Matthew's gospel. In Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse number 17. He's having his meetings. He's going about like he normally go about. And whenever Jesus came to a town, he looked for a synagogue, and he would go into the synagogue, and then people hear that Jesus was in town, word would get around. People that had heard things about him, they would come to just see, because Jesus was in town. It said, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So these people come from all over the place because Jesus was in town. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Did you get that? To listen to what Mark said relative to this in Mark 2, verse 2. Mark said, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. All of these people, wherever Jesus was, he was in a closed-in area, in a house or wherever, and they were bombarding that door to try to get in. And the presence of the Lord, the anointing of healing was present. Now listen, everybody there was not there for the right reason. When it comes to the children's bread, you must make sure that you're gathering together for the right reason. Sometimes people come to church for the wrong reason. I heard somebody say one time they went to a church because their children could be with their friends and have fun. So here you got parents letting children in spiritual direction in their life, all because they worship their children. You better be careful. Don't you know God is preparing your children for their future? And there are things that God has on your child's life for his kingdom that you probably don't know nothing about. God will expose your children to a setting so that when they go away from you, they are comfortable in a spiritual setting. They are comfortable when they see people laying hands on people and signs and wonders and miracles happen. They're not sitting there wondering, boy, that's weird stuff. They will be very familiar with the supernatural. They will be very familiar with the things of God. And it will keep them from demonic activity because they will realize that demonic world is a real world. And so when these kids come up with all of these games and these casting spells and all kinds of stuff, they'll say, no, I'm not going to open myself up to that stuff because I've been taught spiritual things. I'm just showing you. So we got all these people showing up at Jesus' meeting, but everybody is not showing up for the right reason. The presence of God was there to heal them. I believe there were four kind of people showing up. First of all, there were spectators. Spectators just want to see what's going to happen. They don't believe he can do it. So when it do happen, they are shocked. People show up sometime just to watch, not to worship. And not only were there spectators, but there were agitators. Those are the Pharisees. They were there to find something that he's saying. Remember now, he's doing what? Teaching the word. That's why they're there. He's teaching the word. So the agitators were there because they want to listen to what he's saying so they can go back and tell the authorities that he's blaspheming. He's speaking against the law of Moses. We can apprehend him. You got the spectators, you got the agitators, then you got the participators. They're there for the word, man. They don't need no healing. They don't have no sickness. They don't have no disease, but they're there for what? The word. Remember, he was teaching the word. They were coming for what? The word. And then there were the initiators. The initiators are the ones who need healing. And they came to hear the word so they can believe the word and get Jesus to set them free. And sometimes people can have a major issue going on in their health, and they can go to Walmart, they can go everywhere, but they can't come to church. I got too much pain, I can't come, but they can run everywhere else. I'm just showing you. You're going to have to change your attitude. You're going to be like, I'm going to the church, I'm going to have a prayer ministry to pray, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God. And get this, God may tell you, you go to the doctor, you let the doctors do this. He's directing you, but healing comes from God. You say, but man made the medicine, who made the man? I'm just showing people, ultimately, it all comes from God. The food you eat, you sitting there eating and all this, I work, I make my money, I eat my food. Where the food come from? Where the ground come from? God. You got somebody creating some more ground? I'm just showing you, ultimately, it all comes from who? From the Creator. That's why we ought to be able to what? Give thanks to God. So we have to make sure that we show up for the right reason. Now, I want you to grab this. The church mentality have been polluted by religion and traditions of men so bad that when it comes to what reason that should be motivating people in the church, it's the lowest thing on the totem pole. The first meeting that we see of the church after the resurrection of Jesus, after he gave them instruction, the first meeting was a prayer meeting. You have a prayer meeting and see how many Christians show up. You have a concert, and especially if you bring in a certain artist, look at how many Christians will show up. The door will be so packed till it won't be room for people to get in with a concert. But with a prayer meeting, you have a few people. And the first meeting of gathering of saints was a prayer meeting. That Jesus had instructed his followers to go to a certain place and stay there, wait on the promise I'm giving you. Sometimes we don't have the promises of God because we don't what? We don't come for the right reason. We don't see miracles and signs and wonders and healings in the church because we don't come for the right reason. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, listen what was going on in this first church meeting we see after the resurrection. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. So we have about 120 people at this prayer meeting. And they're not in there gossiping. They're not in there being carnal. They're in there what? Praying and worshiping God. Why? Because we got a promise from Jesus and we believe his promises and all we're doing is seeking his face because except he manifested, it can't happen. So it was a prayer meeting. And then we see the next meeting of the church is in Acts chapter 2. And this meeting here was centered around spiritual things. The Bible says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and in prayer. What's that? Church gathering together for the right reason. You know, it's sad that people say, well, you know, if you don't have food, they're not going to come. Isn't that a bad reputation for people to have? The point I'm making is that when we gather together, we got to make sure we got the early church came together for what? To hear the word, to pray, to have some fellowship together. And then in Acts chapter 5, after the church was threatened, the Bible says in verse 42, I'm just showing you how the early church came together. Yet in spite of the threats, they told them to stop coming together. They told them to stop gathering in Jesus' name. Why? Because so many miracles was happening. People were getting healed. And so the religious people got jealous. Why? The influence the church were having on the world. Get this. When the church started having influence on the world gets upset. So they got upset because these disciples were having such an influence on the world. And they never ceased for a single day, both in the temple area and at home, to teach and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Here, everything is centered around the word of God. The reason you and I should gather together, first and foremost, is for the word. I hear people, oh, I love that choir. I go to church to hear my choir. Now, the first reason we should be coming to church is so that we can hear the word of God. Saints, the Bible is God's speech. This is God talking to you and I. And we got to have a different perspective of the Bible. It is the word that God has kept and secured all through ages. It is the infallible word of God. That should be our motivation for church. I'm going to hear the word. Not I'm going to see my friends. Not I'm going because, you know, I'm an usher or I'm a greeter and I got to be on the wall, so I reckon I got to be there. That's the wrong reason. I mean, it's good that you're being responsible, but your reason should be because I want to hear God's word. So we got to be there for the right reason. The second thing is we've got to surround ourselves with faith walkers. Now, everybody's at this meeting, but everybody's not there for the right reason. And then in verse number 18, it said, then behold, men brought out of bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Now, you see this man's condition now. He's paralyzed. So this man is laying on something like a cot, and he's got four men, two in the back and two in the front, and they're carrying him to Jesus' meeting. He cannot walk. He can't get himself there. So what has to happen? He's got the right people in his life. He got some friends that love him and are determined that we're going to get him to Jesus. Had they not given him that support he needed, he would have never got to Jesus. And then the Bible said, look at verse 19, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went back home. Oh, no, your Bible, no, that ain't right. They didn't go back. Some people do that. Oh, too many cars in the parking lot, I'm going home. Just saying, sometimes people make any excuse to not to come to the Lord's house. But what I'm saying is, had they got to the meeting, and they looked at that crowd, and they saw there's no way to get in, they could have said, you know what, we'll come back next time. And the scripture says, and they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. Now look at verse 20, read it with me. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Listen, you got to surround yourself with faith walkers, not talkers. There's a lot of people who talk faith, but they don't walk faith. There's a lot of people, remember that back about 20 years ago, man, people started this confession. So they, oh, I got so-and-so confession book. I got so-and-so. And they just saying these confessions. That stuff not in their heart. You got to get that word in your heart. You can't just sound wordy. You just can't try to be spiritual arrogant and look down on people because you claim you know the word because you quote scripture. You wait till you're in the storm and see whether there's some glue to what you have in your mouth. You wait till you're facing a major challenge in your life and see whether what you're saying out of your mouth is really what you believe in your heart. You got to have some faith walkers. Faith walkers are not going to make excuses. They're going to love you enough. They're going to be determined that we're going to get you to Jesus. Listen, I know sometimes family members get upset, but sometimes when certain family members, I've had this happen with people, they put certain restrictions on who they wanted around them while they were in a major crisis with their health. And it wasn't like, because somebody, oh, they won't even let their cousin come. They won't let, because they come in there with all that doubt and unbelief. They come in there with all that fear. And then they're talking about, oh, you know that running the family. And so-and-so died with it. And so-and-so, all that death speaking around you. You got to have some people in your circle that you know when a crisis comes in your life, you got some real faith walkers. Listen, I need you all praying. I need you all believing God with me. I've been diagnosed with a terminal disease, and they said I only got so long to live, but it's not in the hand of man. It is in the hand of God, and I need some real faith walkers to be interceding and praying for me. This man got the right crowd in his life. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? When they let that man down in that roof, remember what kind of crowd we got? We got spectators, we got participators, we got agitators, and we got initiators all in that room. And when that man was being let down from that roof, I can assure you all eyes went on those men at their determination to get that man before Jesus. Even Jesus took his attention to not the man that was paralyzed. Jesus took his attention to the men who had that kind of faith. Because the scripture says that Jesus spoke to them before he spoke to the man. The verse said, when he saw their faith, He didn't see the faith of the paralyzed man. He saw the faith of the man who was willing to tear somebody else's house roof open and let him down. What kind of determination is that? We can't get through the door. We're going to make a door. Because we know that Jesus has the anointing. And we know that Jesus, he can bring a miracle to this man's life. You've got to surround yourself with faith walkers. People you know that are genuine about God. Who believe God. You believe in God for a breakthrough. You believe in God for a miracle. You don't need to hear all about who died with it. You don't need to hear a track record on the ancestry bloodline of all the negative things. And they'll say it like this. You know it run in the family. Well, if anybody run up in here, they can run out. If it run in the family, we're going to run it out. We're going to begin to pray, and we're going to begin to intercede, and we're going to trust that our God has all power to get this thing in our children's children. And what I heard somebody say, you know, I pray, I told the Lord, Lord, just let it be on me, but don't let it come on my children. I'm not going to pray like that. I love my children, but I don't want it on me. They thought that was being humble. I told the Lord, you know, just let it be on me, but don't let it pass down to my children. I don't want it to be on me or my children. What I'm going to do, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to keep speaking the word of God. I'm going to keep trusting the word of God. The last one is this. We got to value the greatest miracle above all miracles. There's a miracle that is above all miracles. And Jesus brings it out in this text. Because if you notice in verse 20b, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. What that got to do with him being paralyzed? God reads the heart. God know the man had a greater condition than being paralyzed. He had a sin issue. He needed forgiveness because his body, eventually, it's going to die. But his spirit can live forever. So Jesus focused on what is what? Eternal. Your body and my body is not eternal. But our born-again spirit has eternal life. Jesus is doing this too also. Why? Because when you got religious agitators, you want to agitate them. They're saying like, oh, you're messing now. You want to mess with them. So he's what? He's going to stir up the agitators. He's going to stir up those who are there for the wrong reason. And so when he said, thy sins are forgiven him, look at that. Look how the agitators respond. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, what is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They got the right answer. But they're looking in the wrong direction. God standing right in front of them. Jesus standing right there. When you see me, you see the Father. See, they didn't realize that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. Jesus has authority to teach the word. Jesus has authority to cast out demons. Now they just learned this. Jesus has authority to forgive sin. I don't know about you, but I'm glad my sins are forgiven. Thank God for physical healing, but there's something greater than physical healing. The miracle of forgiveness of sin. All your sins are forgiven because of Jesus and your faith in him. When God sees you and I, he see Jesus because of the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now, Jesus is going to give the man his blessing. Why? Because he's an initiator. He got the right crowd around him. 24, but you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. That man went home a changed man. He's giving God the glory for what God has done.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.